I'm sure that you took notice of our reading out of the book of Ephesians. Rodney, are you going to start a second series on the book of Ephesians? Well, no, but maybe. I told you last week I wasn't sure exactly where I was going to go, and I've spent so much time in the book of Ephesians over the seven ones there in Ephesians 4. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. And from that, we branched out all through the book of Ephesians, and then I also went various places in the New Testament. But I found myself back in Ephesians this week before we left for Harding, right there at the very beginning. And I came across this verse that was just read for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just thought I'm going to have to expound on that just a little bit this morning. And I don't know that we'll be in Ephesians again next week, but we might. We'll just have to wait and see what this week holds for us. He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Our world is obsessed with blessing. When we get a new car, we say, oh, I'm so blessed. We're able to finally buy that house, and we say, man, I am blessed. People post on various and sundry social media. Thank you, my wife had to help me because I'm not on any social media. We post on Instagram, hashtag blessed, when we get a promotion at work, or when there's money in the bank, or when the relationship is going really, really well. Hashtag blessed. But what happens when the job is lost? What happens when the diagnosis is bad? What happens when prayers seem unanswered? Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, I remind you, he doesn't write it from a beach resort. He's writing this letter from a prison cell. And after his greeting to the church there in Ephesus, the first thing he says is not complaint. It's not, you know, woe is me because I'm sitting here in a prison cell, but it's praise. Blessed be God. Praise be to God. Paul is saying, before I talk about what you should do, before I start dealing with church issues, before I address suffering, let me anchor you in who you already are in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 is a launch pad verse. You know, we just had the Artemis mission that went out and went around the moon. Many of you have found out that one of those astronauts, I think Victor Glover, is a member of the Church of Christ. And he is a member of the church where Paul and I have some very dear friends that we met in Texas. They moved from the Longview area down to Houston, and that astronaut is a member of their church, and so he was very excited and asked us to pray for him, which we were happy to do. But Ephesians 1:3 here, I just had to say that. I just was reminded of that. It's a launch pad verse. Everything that follows is an unfolding of what this blessing actually means. So today we're going to ask three questions. Who is the source of our blessing? What kind of blessing is this? And then where and how do we live out this blessing? So the source of the blessing, God the Father. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before Paul talks about what we receive, he tells us who gives it. So first of all, blessing begins with worship, not with us. Paul doesn't say praise to the believer who's got everything figured out. The direction of blessing always comes from God. It's something that God initiates. It always flows downward. God blesses his people, not the other way around. There's really nothing in our hands that we could bring to bless God. We sing it sometimes, bless the Lord, O my soul, in the words that we say, the songs that we sing, but you understand that there's nothing that we can give to God that would be a blessing to him. He needs nothing from us. It's always from God to his people. And I think this protects us from spiritual pride. There's nothing that we can bring to him. Everything that flows out of Ephesians is about grace, not merit. Secondly, God is revealed as Father. Paul calls him the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This matters deeply. Blessing does not flow from an impersonal force, from some just cosmic being, but it comes from a relational Father. I've said to you many times that when I pray to God the Father, that means something to me, especially because I've never really had a father. I've not had a father in this life. My biological father left when I was young. My mom remarried, and that father had the potential to be a good father, but was not. And so when I bow and when I speak to God the Father, that means a great deal to me, because God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is really the only father, good father, that I've ever known. And so Paul reveals God as Father, a father whose generosity is shaped by love, not by reluctance. He wants to bless. And if you struggle to believe that you are blessed, often the problem is not your circumstance, but it's your view of God. It's how you view our Father in heaven. Paul wants our praise to rise because we know who God is before we consider what it is that he gives. So now let's look at the nature of the blessing. It is spiritual and it is complete. I want you to notice what Paul does not say. Paul does not say that God has blessed us with every material blessing. Paul does not say that God has blessed us with every emotional blessing, or that he has blessed us with every circumstantial blessing. Those may come, and they often do, but they're not guaranteed. Instead, Paul directs us to something deeper and much more secure. He says, every spiritual blessing. That's what we're blessed with. The phrase means that nothing essential is missing. Everything that you really, really need, God has given to you. He's not withheld it. In Christ, believers lack nothing that really matters. Everything that matters the most, God has blessed us with. And then over the next several verses, as we've unpacked in the last several weeks, Paul talks about these spiritual blessings. We are chosen before the foundation of the world. We are adopted as sons and daughters. We are redeemed and forgiven. We are given an inheritance, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. These blessings that Paul's talking about, that we are blessed with, cannot be repossessed. They can never be taken away from us. They cannot be stolen. They cannot be undone by suffering. Suffering cannot touch them. They cannot be canceled by failure. These blessings are not seasonal. They don't appear and then go away. They are permanent. And I want you to notice that what he says it in the past tense. He has blessed us. This is really crucial. Paul does not say God will bless us if we behave well. God has already blessed us. Your spiritual blessings, listen to this, your spiritual blessings are not hanging on your spiritual performance. Yeah, we got one thank you. I want you to hear that again. Your spiritual blessings are not hanging in the balance based upon your spiritual performance. That's good news, church. That's real good news. That's good news to me, anyway. Your blessings are rooted, hear me now, in Christ's finished work. That's where your blessings are based. Does God want you to perform? Does God want you to do some spiritual things? Absolutely. We were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So we're not saying that we don't need to do anything. But that's not how God blesses us. That's not why God blesses us. We are blessed already in Christ because of Christ's finished work on the cross and when he came out of the tomb. And this changes how we pray. We don't pray for blessings as beggars. We pray from blessings as children. Isn't that wonderful? The location of the blessing, the heavenly realms. We are blessed in the heavenly realms. This phrase appears repeatedly, I think about five times in the book of Ephesians, and it doesn't just mean someday when we die. We're blessed in the heavenly realms someday when we die. The heavenly realms refers to the spiritual reality where Christ reigns. Right now. He's already reigning right now. And if I understand the Bible correctly, it says that those of us who are in Christ have been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. It doesn't feel that way sometimes to me. It doesn't feel like I'm reigning with Christ. But that is what the Bible says. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. This is a higher dimension of reality. Paul is saying that your life is anchored beyond what you can see. Your security is located beyond earthly instability. You know, earthly circumstances can shift constantly. But heavenly realities are unshakable. We were in Searcy this weekend for Haley's senior recital. And last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, I guess, she stepped off a curb, twisted her ankle, and broke her ankle. And so her mama is going back this week, and she's going to have surgery on Thursday. So be praying for all that to go well. They're going to put a plate in and a screw. It says the bones are not lined up, so they need to go in and fuse them together where they won't move so they can heal properly. Otherwise, she'll have problems. We were not expecting that to happen. It just happened. It happened on probably the worst week that it could have happened because she had to be on the go all the time this past week for her senior recital. What I'm trying to say to you is that life throws a lot of stuff at you, and things are always shifting. Things come at you that you didn't prepare for, and sometimes you don't really have a choice in the matter. You just have to go with it. You just have to deal with it. Everything is always shifting, and when your joy is rooted only in what happens on earth, it will always be fragile. It will always be fragile. But when your identity is anchored in heaven, then your soul becomes resilient. You may not like what's happening, but you know that this is not what it's all about. There's something else awaiting you. We need to start living from heaven, not for heaven. What in the world do you mean by that? Many Christians think about heaven only as a future destination. But Paul talks about it as a present source for us. Listen to me when I say this. I believe that we as children of God should not think of heaven as our goal. Heaven for us is a given. Do you hear me? Heaven is a given for us. It's already promised. Jesus says, I'm going to go, I'm preparing a place for you, and if I do that, I'm going to take you where I am. It's a given for us. It's not our goal. Our goal, I think, should be to find out what pleases God and then do that. You see, when we start thinking about heaven as a goal, then I just think about, what is it going to take for me to get there? What do I need to do to get there? Paula taught math for almost 20 years. And I can remember being in school, and the teacher is teaching something, and you're not really understanding, maybe, and you raise your hand, and someone says, is that going to be on the test? And if the teacher says yes, well, okay, let me try to figure this out. If the teacher says, no, this is not going to be on the test, what do? Turn it off, man. I don't have to know that. I'm not going to write that down. I'm not going to put that in my notes. It must not be that important. You see, when I think about heaven being my goal, I'm going to just think about that. I'm not going to worry about anything else except, what does it take for Rodney to get to heaven? But when I understand that heaven is already promised to me, now I start thinking about, what can I do to please God, to bring Him glory? So we make it our goal to please Him. Well, He wants me to live a certain way. He wants me to treat people a certain way. He wants me to love my neighbor as myself. He wants me to share my faith so that not only I get to go to heaven, but I might take somebody with me. And then they in turn might tell somebody and take somebody with them. You see, it becomes a totally different motivation. I'm not working to go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I'm in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. I've given my life to Him. I was buried with Him. I died to myself. I was raised to walk in newness of life. I'm going to heaven. That's a given. So I'm not living for heaven. I'm living from heaven. And now the goal is different. Who can I take with me? What can I do to praise God? What can I do to magnify Him while I'm here on this earth? Does that make sense? All right. The means of the blessing. In Christ. I've said this week after week. Never gets old, does it? Never gets tired. We are in Christ. That's where all spiritual blessings are. This is the heart of the verse. The blessing is not found in theology alone. The blessing is not found in church attendance. The blessing is not found in moral effort. The blessing is found in Christ. Union with Christ. To be in Christ means that His obedience becomes ours. Jesus was a man who was born under the law so that He could keep the law, because guess what? You and I can't do it. We prove time and time again that we are unable to keep the law. So His obedience to the law, by obeying it and keeping it, His obedience becomes my obedience. Why? Because I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. So His obedience becomes mine. His righteousness covers us. His righteousness covers me. Everything he did was righteous. He always obeyed the Father's will, even to the point of death. He said, not my will be done, but yours. So his righteousness covers me. His victory includes us. When he came up out of the grave, he was victorious over death. That is such good news for us, because we have a death problem. We have a sin problem and a death problem. The way I see it, that covers pretty much all of our lives. And as I've said, I'll say it again, he solved the sin problem on the cross, and he solved the death problem when he came out of the tomb. So his victory becomes my victory. And his inheritance is shared with us. I can't even grasp it, but everything that Jesus deserves, everything that belongs to Jesus, I get a part of that. I'm part of that. His inheritance belongs to me. Not because I'm deserving, but because he's deserving. And because I'm in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is because of our union with Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no spiritual blessing. But inside of Christ, there is nothing but blessings. Say amen when you can. Christ is the blessing. God doesn't merely give us blessings. God gives us his Son. Sometimes, you know, they say what you can convert somebody with is what you convert them to. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but let me say it this way. Sometimes we'll say to maybe a young couple who is struggling in their marriage, if you'll just come to Christ, he will help you with your marriage. He'll help you put your life back together. They're struggling with their finances. If you'll just come to Christ and take a Financial Peace University class, he will help you get your finances in order. And you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed here on earth, and you'll be able to give more to the church. We say things like that. We do not come to Christ and follow Jesus so that our marriages will get better. Might that happen? Absolutely. If you follow what God says, that'll help your marriage. It'll help you raise your children. It'll help you with your finances. But we don't come to Christ for that. The end result of following Jesus is that you get Jesus. You get Jesus. You get to be more like him. God transforms you into the image of his Son. He changes you from one degree of glory to another. So the end result of all that I'm doing for Christ is that I get to be like Christ. And I get to spend eternity with him. And that's enough. If you have Christ, you are blessed. And you have more than enough already. I hope you understand that concept. We don't follow God to get, to receive, although he blesses us immensely, to be more like our Savior, to be transformed into his image is what we desire. It's what we should desire, and it's what God's working on. Living is the blessed people of God. Let me close with these practical responses. Let blessing shape your identity, not your circumstances. You're not blessed because life is easy. You are blessed because Christ is yours. Preach this to yourself when life is hard. Preach these things to yourself when life is hard. Say this after me. I am chosen. I am forgiven. I am secure. I am loved. I am blessed. I'm not going to repeat what other people say. I just wanted to see how many would say that. Preach that to yourself every day. I'm loved. I'm blessed. I'm secure. Let blessing fuel gratitude, not entitlement. When we forget our spiritual blessings, we become grumblers. We become complainers. But when we remember our blessings, we become worshipers. We worship the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul starts with praise because gratitude is the natural response to grace that is remembered. Gratitude is the natural response when we remember how blessed we are. And then thirdly, let blessing overflow into mission. God never blesses us to terminate that blessing on ourselves. God blesses us so that we can in turn bless others. See, God didn't just bless me to bless me. He wanted me to in turn bless somebody else. See, that's why God blesses us. So we can in turn do that to someone else. He blesses us so that we can live generously. He blesses us so that we can serve freely. And he blesses us so that we can suffer faithfully. We can suffer faithfully. We've had several and still have several in our family of faith who have taught us what it looks like to suffer faithfully. Praise God for them. So, a call to praise. Paul begins this letter the same way that our lives should be lived. Rooted in praise, anchored in Christ, secure in heaven, overflowing with gratitude. No matter where you are today, if you are weary, you are still blessed. If you are grieving, you are still blessed. If you are uncertain, you are still blessed. Because your blessing is not fragile. It is not temporary. It is not circumstantial. It is spiritual. It is heavenly. It is complete. And it is in Christ. Let's read this verse together. We're going to say this as a prayer. Let's read it together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you, Father, for the blessings that we have in Christ. We realize that in Christ, we have everything we need. And Father, help us to live lives that are full of thankfulness and gratitude. We pray that you'll continue to transform us into the image of Jesus. Father, we want to look more like him in the way that we treat each other, the words that we speak, our actions, our thoughts. Bless us, Father, to be more like your Son, so that in turn we could bless those around us and bring more into the kingdom. This is our prayer, Father.